I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take Carrie's iconic questions and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening, as ever, to Vagina Liner Juno Dawson and Titty Witty Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Titty Witties.
Hi, Vagina Miner. Vagina Whiner.
How are you?
Good. We were just saying before we launched into recording, everything is just crazy now. There's so much going on, and it's great. I went to a gig, my first gig on Sunday. Yeah, it was out.
I've just bought theatre tickets. That's optimistic, isn't it?
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so it's all happening.
Life is back now. I will say, obviously, you know, two full seasons of this podcast pretty much were recorded during lockdown. Most of season two and all of season three were recorded during lockdown, and it's nice to see life gradually returning to normal. Wear your mask, kids, get vaccinated. But like on Sunday I went for brunch with my friends.
Yeah.
And we decided, well, let's just go to the cafe where we used to go before lockdown. Because what we did was we started when we were legally allowed to do so. We started going to Gavin's house instead. Uh-huh. And just having brunch around Gavin.
Oh, that's nice.
It was. So we saw each other within the restrictions. But then we sort of realised last week there's nothing stopping us now.
Yeah.
Like, and all of us had kind of forgotten that we can.
Yeah, there have
out
been,
again.
I think everyone's had a few moments like that, haven't they? Like, oh, yeah, we can walk into this place now.
it's fine. And then we got our old table. Like, oh, I know, wow, it seems very Sex and the City, but my life, I'm not going to lie, Dylan, sometimes my life is a bit Sex and the City. And
Does it have a corrugated, translucent plastic wall next to the table?
It might as well. So we used to get in really early. So we go for brunch quite early on Sunday to make sure that we get the table we want. Yeah, it's terrible, but yeah, we're those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, we like it because it's the, there's a big, big window that looks out over her and we want the window seat.
Yeah.
So. And I looked around at my friends. Hello, Gavin, Lewis and Stuart, if you're listening. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Because there was a point where I think like a lot of people, I didn't know if life was going to return to normal.
Yeah.
Or how close we would get back to normal, yeah, kind of. So to be able to just sit in a coffee shop in Brighton having brunch was really nice.
Absolutely. Maybe we should record the podcast in a studio for one episode, just for old time's sake sometime.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Just imagine the sound quality. just imagine the listeners now going back to season one. My gosh, it sounds like it's done in a fully professional record. Well, it was. Spoilers. It was. You can hear the noisy road outside my flat once more.
It adds to the charm. It adds to the charm.
And do you know what? We had, imagine now if we'd have stopped recording for lockdown, we'd have had to take 2 years off the podcast.
So, yeah.
You know, we kept it going for you, listeners. Yeah.
And for us.
And for us, this is the gift. let's discuss season four, episode 6, Baby, Talk is Cheap.
Yeah.
Do you have a synopsis, Dylan? And is it in a pot?
It is in a pot, and it is a synopsis. So can you tell I'm a podcaster? The title of the episode is very clever because it's a double meaning. It's baby, talk is cheap, because Carrie is trying to communicate with Aiden, trying to communicate to him that she wants to get back together with him. And it's also baby talk because Samantha experiences a guy who really loves baby talk. So we'll get to that. Trey, a significant point in Charlotte and Trey's arc. They decide they want to have a baby. And Miranda
gets nothing to do with.
Well, discovers rimming.
Oh my god! Of course she does. I watched this episode literally an hour ago. How did I forget that?
And
one?
Carrie sends her first email.
Can he see me? We've reached that one. I think that is what this episode is famous for. The one where Carrie is scared of email.
Well, what I loved about, what was so refreshing about this episode is that it was dated, but in a way that was charming, not in a way that was like horrible.
Well, there was something a tiny bit problematic, but we'll come to work Charlotte.
There was
later,
yeah.
Nothing outrageous, but just a little.
Yeah.
Again, we're not in the transphobia week. So I guess let's start with, obviously, this whole thread is the plot to bring John Corbett back as Aiden. And so it's like a little trilogy, actually, because before they can get back together as boyfriend and girlfriend, we kind of have to go through the motions of Carrie atoning for her sins.
Mm. Yeah, which is interesting. It's interesting when they're talking about it at the start, and Miranda, like, very diplomatically says, she kind of says something like, oh, well, considering what happened... Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared that he might not want to hear it, which she's right.
And Carrie doesn't seem to have factored this one
well,
in. Like,
no, of course not.
She has quite a high opinion of herself, because if I had cheated on a guy, would I even try it?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, it's very... I don't know if brave is the one. I think probably blinkered rather than brave of Carrie to be trying it. And it did occur to me that, like, if the gender roles were flipped and it was a guy, like, coming back to a woman after he had cheated on her, it would seem very, like, yeah, I don't know.
I think... So the question that we have to endeavour to answer by the end of this episode is, in matters of love, do actions speak louder than words? Mm. And it's kind of Carrie's actions that confuse me a bit.
Mm.
Like, she sends him an email, which is never the best way to get reaction quickly. So that was flawed right from the get-go. But then this whole, we'll go out for dinner with Steve and Miranda to kind of trap Aiden into a date not date kind of situation.
Also quite unfair on Miranda as well, because...
Oh, that was so shit when she makes Miranda leave as well.
Yeah, and also, like, it's never easy, like things are kind of fine with her and Steve at the moment, aren't they? But it's quite a big ask to be like, oh, can you just, like, go out for dinner with your ex as well, just because I want to like chance it with my ex. But, you know, like, very Carrie behaviour. She was very,
very Carrie.
She was particularly Carrie in this episode.
Mm.
Also in the way that she got more and more, like, I don't know, just kind of unreasonable and strange, like, as the episode progressed.
Because if it was, let's say, again, if it were me, and this is the podcast, we apply our experience to this. So let's say I had cheated on a guy and then wanted to get back with him. I think I would go back more apologetically.
Mm.
And I have been, God, a really long time ago, I found out a guy had sort of been cheating. And, you know, we did the whole Love Island thing and he had to beg and plead and make amends. And then I decided to take him back. Whereas I don't really see that from Carrie. Like, and let's not forget, she really did confess to the cheating. I mean, that's the only thing she has going in her favour, which is she at least was honest with Aiden.
Yeah.
about what had happened.
Yeah.
But what shakes me is that she doesn't reach... It's the fact she almost tricks him, I think, is what bugs me. Like, she should have just called him up and said, "Hi, Aiden, it was really lovely to see you at the launch of the bar. And, you know, it really got me thinking about the way things between us ended. And I know I have no right to say this.
Yeah.
But if you ever wanted to get a drink, I would be so down for getting a drink."
Yeah. Do you think that's more of a, I mean, not to be like a smug millennial, but do you think that's more of a thing? I feel like people communicate a little bit more efficiently now with things like that. Because they were saying, because Miranda, when Carrie was asking Miranda to come along, she was like, "Oh, well, that means that you're there." And it was all this kind of like sort of game playing and like the veiled messages and stuff. I think people are possibly a little bit more no-nonsense and a little bit more honest now. Or maybe not.
It's because we're so good at sending emails.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's why.
We've got WhatsApp now, so...
Well, you know. Exactly. Yeah. Just... And there was a couple. There was... I won't name names, but there was a guy in London, and it was really unfortunate timing, because it was right when I was kind of figuring out whether or not I was going to transition. Bing, bong, bing. And I really, really liked him. And in a weird parallel world where I never transitioned, I might have ended up with him, which I always think that's quite strange. He's really happy now. He has a completely different boyfriend. His life looks delightful.
Oh my God, there should be a sliding doors where in one version Gwyneth Paltrow transitions and then the other
into Lawrence Fox.
Oh God,
that's how I imagine the male Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh God, actually,
no, maybe Paul Bettany. Let's go. We'll go. She transitions into Paul Bettany.
Sorry, what were you saying?
But I do, you know, and I there was a couple of times where we dated a bit and then I kind of half ghosted him a little bit, and then I would change my mind and be like, "Oh my God, I'm letting someone go and he's really nice." And so, you know, there's a way of doing it. There is a way back, because there's always a way back.
Yeah.
But I just, again, we keep saying the same thing, which is, why is Carrie so emotionally illiterate?
Yeah, and she's a sex columnist. Again, it comes back. Mind you, I suppose, like, you don't have to be emotionally illiterate if you're a sex columnist. But
of course, I mean, my God, we know lots of columnists. And actually, do you know what? If your life is a clusterfuck, it just makes for really good columns.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And the, you know, or in fact, good TV.
Yeah. I was just gonna say,
If Carrie had her shit together, it would be a really boring TV show, wouldn't it?
I like their conversation about Aiden at the bar. Like, obviously saying what the viewers are thinking. Like, Charlotte's like, "Oh, I wasn't sure about that turquoise jewellery," and stuff like that.
That's the scene that I think works. Charlotte might pop.
Oh, yeah, the belly.
Because they do, they shame his belly.
Yeah, true.
Which, you know, John Corbett is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, I mean, yes, the styling was unfortunate in season 3, the double denim and the neckerchiefs and the flares.
Yeah.
And as Charlotte points out, the turquoise jewellery was unfortunate. but don't be making fun of his...
I like it. I like a belly. And do you know what? That body type in men is much more... what's the word? Not exactly fetishized, but it's much more appreciated now, I think, than it used to be.
Well, we have a word for it now, don't we? We call it dad bod.
Yeah, the dad bod. Yeah, very
the
much.
The dad bod. And you know what? I would rather take an Aiden body than I would an insane post-Marvel superhero workout body where, like, they all look veiny and creepy.
Oh, every time, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say no to the latter either. But
but it's like, which would you rather, Parks and Rec Chris Pratt or Jurassic World Chris Pratt?
Yeah, see, this is the thing, Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Of course, every time. And it was before he became a gun-toting Republican, yeah. So...
The slightly problem... Well, I don't even know if it's problematic, it's just ridiculous. The slightly woke Charlotte line that I picked up on was when Carrie's voiceover said, "The Indians had to wait 6 months for a response. It took me 6 months to get the message I wanted to be with Aiden." Like... Okay, just another one of those. Okay,
that's it's a weird reach, isn't it? Yeah, and by the way, we say Native American now, Carrie. Yeah, it's kind of it's a funny one. I'm glad when I remember this, even back the first time round, I was so glad when Aidan came back. I always felt that they had unfinished business. And sure enough, they do. And of all of Carrie's relationships, I liked spending time in Carrie and Aidan's. Mm. And obviously, I don't want to get ahead of us, but I love how it plays out this season as well. Mm. I love the kind of the little journey they go on. And I think it's a very different chemistry to the chemistry that Sarah Jessica Parker has with Chris Nerth. But I love the chemistry she has with John Corbett as well.
True. I was thinking that too. And I was also thinking, is this the first time or one of a very few times that a TV show has sort of like really said goodbye to a significant romantic interest and then they've come back for quite a significant time? Does that happen? That doesn't happen very often, does it? Like characters,
no.
Characters grow away from each other and then get back together while they're all still in the show. But it's not very often that a romantic interest will literally leave. Like the character is gone and then unexpectedly comes back.
The only one that I can think of off the top of my head is Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
who was
never intended to come back. It was just that they really liked James Masters and wanted to keep him around.
The fans loved Spike as well, didn't they?
Also true of Anya,
yeah,
from Buffy the Vampire Slayer as well. She was Emma Caulfield was never meant to be in Buffy for 7 years or however long it was, kind of. So yeah, it can happen. Mm. I think that's a great time to take a break before we move on to the other girls.
Yeah.
The short answer is Carrie and Aidan are back. They're back together by the end of the episode. They have weird slow motion running into each other's arms.
Oh, and John Corbett's "You broke my heart" was amazing as well.
Such a good line, and quite gonna kind of love his shirt with the embroidered roses.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would wear that shirt.
Very you. You would absolutely wear that shirt. Yes, 100%. But yeah, "You broke my heart," but then. Action speaking louder than words. Both Carrie and Aidan throw pebbles at each other's window.
Mm.
Has anybody thrown pebbles at your window?
No, and I'm a bit gutted, to be honest, that no one has.
An Italian used to scream outside my window on a night for drugs. Because I used to live next door to an Italian drug dealer, so sometimes people would come and stand outside my bedroom window and scream, "Massimo! Massimo!"
I'm going to guess this is when you lived in London.
No, that was Brighton.
Oh, really?
That's Hove of all places, yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, memories. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay where you are.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. Dylan and I have been watching Baby Talk is Cheap as we attempt to answer the question, when it comes to love, which is better, or rather, which speaks louder, actions or words? again, this question kind of has an impact for Trey and Charlotte as well, who decide to have a baby. And I'm really very pleased that both Samantha and Charlotte see the red flag.
Like Joel did
2 weeks ago. She's, these two should not be having a child.
I love just Samantha when she's like, Trey and I are trying to have a baby. And Samantha, without missing a beat, is just like, why?
Oh, it's so awful because a lot of my children have friends. What? A lot of my friends have children.
Yeah.
And it's, you can see Samantha's point, which is nothing in your life is going to change your life more than having kids.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think from Samantha's point of view, it's basically, oh my God, you know, I'm going to lose a friend to the motherhood, which we see that plot with Miranda. Like, Samantha really struggles when Brady comes on the scene.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. None of my close friends have kids.
Yet.
Quite a few of Chris's friends do, and I know a few of yours do as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's coming soon for me.
It does. I mean, because can you remember way back in season one when we had Alice Beverton Palmer on to talk about the baby shower?
Yeah.
If you are a cisgender woman heading into your 30s, regardless of where you stand on wanting children or not wanting children, it feels like a conversation that's imposed on you. You know, you are gonna have to have it, even if you move to a cave on the side of an Irish cliff. Like, a puffin is gonna fly into that cave to talk about your biological clock, you know. And even as a trans woman, you know, I get asked as well.
Yeah, because I remember that you said that you got asked pretty much as soon as you transitioned. Then people started asking you, which I find the psychology of that so interesting, because it means it's so ingrained in, like, what people's ideas of gender as well, isn't it? But it's so invasive. It's so invasive
so
to
invasive.
Ask people that.
And having a child is a life changer.
Yeah.
Like, Max and I got married a couple of weeks ago, you know. Our life has not changed in the slightest, other than I wear an extra ring, you know, kind of. But having a child, or for that matter, getting a puppy, changes your life forever. And, you know, it feels like the end of a chapter, you know, because those friends, you know, when you've got a tiny little thing that you have got to care for or it will die, your life has got to change.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do Sex and the City anymore. You can't be out for dinner 7 nights a week. And that's why, you know, that, and maybe that's kind of where, you know, reality starts to get tenuous with this show, when Miranda and Charlotte continue to live the life they live with kids. And, you know, that leads to that horrific moment in Sex and the City 2. Where Miranda and Charlotte are like, how do people do this without nannies? And the rest of the world is, fuck off. Just fuck
off.
Yeah,
and they're like...
You know, women all around the world manage.
Yeah, and they're both... I remember they're both, like, at the bar, like, in fucking Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
Like, crying because they can't look after their kids, even though they've both... Oh, God. Yeah.
Where's your kids, Miranda?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
Yeah, but and it's I really liked the scene when Charlotte and Trey had Charlotte's friends around for dinner and their three kids.
Mm-hmm. And this is where actions are speaking louder than words.
Yeah, yeah. And they both kind of realise, as romantic and as, what's the word, traditional as Trey and Charlotte are, they both kind of realise it's an unspoken thing. They're like, shit, like... Do we want kids? Do we actually want kids right now? yeah.
And that I love that dinner scene, which is such carnage.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's not so much about the kids, because kids will be kids. It's about the terse.
Yeah, the parents.
Between the parents. Just don't talk to me like you talk to the children.
Not all little boys have to like sports.
Ooh. Oh, it's excruciating. In fact, slightly triggered about my parents' marriage.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so happily divorced my parents.
There's a few great awkward scenes in this episode, actually. That's one of them. And also Carrie on the phone to Aiden. SJP is always so good at awkwardness. Again, that was really awkward as well. Where she hangs up the phone afterwards and she's just like, what did I... what just happened?
Oh, with the fur call. Yeah. You know how sometimes they try to make things happen? Like the gay straight man and the straight gay man.
Oh, I think
the faux call was trying to make fetch happen.
Not quite, yeah.
Never have I heard anyone outside of that episode use the phrase fur call.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we've completely skipped past Charlotte's African dance class.
Oh yeah, the famous... I feel like we've given this African dance class quite a lot of airtime, considering it's like... Because we've talked about it before, haven't we?
And have
like,
we?
Yeah, like... And they're like bobbing around.
it's
so bizarre.
Carrie's outfit for African dance class as well, and that she's like wearing like a head wrap and aviator shades.
Yeah.
And like stubbornly refusing to join in. So she's above the actual African dance. So she goes to an African dance class, which feels a little bit cultural appropriation-y anyway. Like it feels quite tokenistic, kind of like, again, getting all the best things of a culture without taking any of the oppression that goes with a culture. But yeah, I just thought that was...
I hated her, cringe. Speaking of her outfit, I hated that hat as well. That beret, sort of like square forward facing beret that she wore.
Oh, yeah. Unpleasant.
Not good, yeah.
Not the one. So she has Charlotte and Trey. I love the very vigorous sex.
Yes.
I love Charlotte milking Trey for his seed. That was hilarious. And yeah, they're going to have a baby, or they're going to try, because we know how that one works. But
yeah.
That's them. Meanwhile, across town, rimming.
Yeah.
Rimming.
Miranda and rimming.
Which is not called rimming in this episode, I believe. They call
tuckus
it lots of things. Tuckus lingus.
Tuckus lingus. And then she says, he licked my butt as well. Rimming's an interesting one. And talking...
Well, it's very topical as well. Did you see a couple of weeks back, loathsome internet twat Stephen Bear posted a video of his girlfriend rimming him and posted it on Twitter?
This is why I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Yes, it's just... I mean...
Who's Stephen Bear again? The name rings a bell.
He's that absolutely vile man who won one of the seasons of Celebrity Big Brother,
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely loathsome guy, kind of. Really just gross. And that's what he... Apparently he's doing... I don't know if they have an OnlyFans or something, I guess. Okay. But
so it seems, I guess, a lot of straight people still don't know what rimming is, which I find really interesting.
But surely they do, because this episode is 20 years old. Did this episode teach people what rimming was?
Perhaps, yeah. I was quite surprised that all the Sex and the City girls knew what it was. And I particularly loved Charlotte when she was like, oh yeah, well, Trey and I do it, and I do it back.
Trey likes it.
Yeah, but I remember when I saw that iconic first episode of Queer as Folk.
Well, that's what taught me what rimming is.
Yeah, I mean, same. And I had never even heard of it before, it never even occurred to me that it could happen or did happen. And yeah, mind blown.
I just didn't understand. I was like, why is he licking his butt? Like, yeah. I was so confused. And then later on, when I met Russell T. Davis, drop that name. That was going to be my like hilarious sort of sassy opening. Like, oh my God, thanks for teaching me what rimming was. But of course I completely bottled it and was just like, I'm a big fan. I love that Charlotte's response when they gave her the look was, we're married.
Yeah,
as if kind of that's the perk you get for when you exchange vows, you can enjoy rimming.
I was surprised at Samantha saying she would never do it back to the guy, but I think that was to kind of, that was so that Charlotte could have her punchline, so that she could be the only one who did it. I think that was just to make that funnier.
It's a funny one because we, you know, anal, and they talk about that area.
Yeah.
You know, that area is so ubiquitous in pornography now.
Yeah.
And it causes problems because boys think that anal is, sorry, straight cis boys think that anal is very common because it's in so much pornography
yeah.
that then teenage girls, cis teenage girls, are feeling an enormous pressure to deliver on anal sex. And young men are putting girls under enormous pressure to try anal sex as well. So this is kind of the conversation hasn't really changed since this episode, you know, which is, you know, what are the rules? And, you know, what is the frequency? But like with anything, that conversation kind of shows the model for how it should be, which is anybody should be able to enjoy bum fun. And you should also be able to talk about it with your partner, which, again, Miranda falls down on and ends up screaming into his anus, I don't want to do that!
I don't want to do that!
Into his very nice bum.
Into his lovely bum, which he's nice bopping bum. Around at her. Yeah. Like, it's like bobbing up and down at her face, kind of. Which I love. And I love that actor. I mean, how do you film that scene? It's like, as a director, as somebody who's been an actor... You know, kind of, all you'd have to do is just have the most fun with yeah. it, I think.
I mean, yeah, for me, but I mean, obviously, like, this won't be news coming from a gay man, but I am fine with it.
Not all gay men do like it, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I don't, some would, like, really, really go for it and really love it. I don't mind it.
I'm afraid, no, again, I'm sorry, everyone listening to this. Traditionally, I've been in my more prolific days. I was much more of a Samantha, which was quite happy to receive it.
Oh, I see.
But then had an emergency phone call that I had to attend to.
Can be a bit of an issue, obviously.
I just don't want to be anywhere near anyone's bottom, if I'm honest.
I do find it quite funny. So obviously this doesn't quite apply as much now with COVID, but I remember I once had my friend David in stitches because like he had just been telling me like how he'd had this wild night with a guy the night before and like went into great detail about lots of stuff, including rimming. And then like a bit later on, I was like, oh, do you want to try some of my drink? And he was like, oh, I never share straws with people. And I was like, right, so you'll literally like lick a stranger's asshole, but you won't have some of my drink. Like, where's the logic in that?
Amazing. Yeah, sort of like, oh, I wouldn't wear a mask.
I would never.
So yeah, Miranda and Mr. 10 Minute Mile.
Yeah, Mr. Marathon, Mr. Mile.
Yeah, it can't go any further. They've reached the logical conclusion, given that she just doesn't want to eat his ass.
And that, I think that's all that we're meant to really glean from that storyline.
Yeah,
it?
Cute. And even less screen time, I think, was Samantha this week, who is dealing with again the I guess baby talk, dealing with. And it is so repulsive. I mean, I know it's a stupid plot line, but yeah, there is nobody on this earth who could have tolerated
vagina whiner.
Titty
witties.
I mean, it's funny because we could file him under, you know, if we did all the shags of Sex and the City, we could arrange them into like a Carol diagram or a Venn diagram or something. Uh-huh. And it's guys who do weird things during passion.
Yeah.
So we could put him with the guy who called Charlotte fucking slut, a fucking whore. Yeah.
There's a few.
Sometimes, yeah, during sex, sometimes people do weird things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we can't be mad at them, but you can get the ick. I believe that's what the kids are calling it. The kids are calling it the ick.
And also, like, Samantha was good. Samantha was, like, very just... She didn't insult... She wasn't, like, mean to him, but she was like, oh, can we, like, just stop the baby talk? It's not... You know, I'm not into it. Like, she didn't, like, make fun of him, really. She just communicated very firmly. But then, of course, he was a baby.
he was a big baby, yeah. So that's the end of him.
Yeah.
He's gone the way of all of Samantha's one episode lovers.
Yeah.
So let's try and answer this question. When it comes to matters of the heart, which speak louder, actions or words?
So I, for once, have quite a firm answer to this one. I think actions, definitely.
Correct.
Yeah.
Go on, explain your reasoning, please.
Well, I think that people just, like, it's... It's not a completely great example because it's not a romantic relationship example. But one time I screwed something up with my flatmate. Like he had work really early the next day, and I ended up coming back with a load of people at like 2 a.m. And he was understandably really pissed off. And I said sorry to him, and he was like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, sure." But I could tell he was still pissed off. So then I just like went to the big Sainsbury's and bought him like a really expensive box of chocolates, all of his favorite foods, and an amazing bottle of wine, and just like left it outside his door. And then like the next day he was like, "Oh my God, Dylan, thank you so much for that. Like, and don't worry, like I know that these things happen and we have different lifestyles and blah, blah." So like, that's a great, people remember gestures so much more than words, I think.
Well, words can be really hollow as well, which is it costs you nothing, not even in terms of, you know, finance. You know, to say to somebody, "Oh, I'll never do that again."
It doesn't mean
so many people then do the same thing again.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
So it just doesn't mean anything, and you've got to put these things in the long run. And I certainly think that's true in relationships, whereby this is a completely made up example, but you know, there's no point in saying, you know, "Oh, we'll share housework." If one person ends up doing 80% of the housework, you know, you've got to actually do it. You've got to put in the elbow grease and you've got to do the work.
Yeah.
And that's true of promises. I know a lot is made about, you know, "Oh, do you promise? But actually, you know, you only get so many chances at breaking promises before I would completely lose interest in someone.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's good to, I think an action proves your words, maybe.
Yeah, and I think that's why you sort of look at this, like, a generation learning relationships from Love Island, and you sort of kind of despair, because so much is put on the things you say, like the sort of, like, "Will you be my girlfriend, boyfriend?" And, you know, "Oh, I love you," and "Shall we be exclusive?" Unless you're actually going to do something different.
Yeah.
Like make a physical change in your life. It's just air. It's just gas.
I am still yet to see an episode of Love Island.
It's not, now is not the time to start. Well, obviously the series is finished, but it's I think it's gone past its sell by a little, if I'm honest. Sorry, producers, if you're listening. I'm still available to be a talking head on Love Island After Sun. But no, I think I'm sure everyone will agree as well that actions.
Yeah.
In fact, isn't that the old adage? Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, that's a saying.
I like that Carrie's ropey old cliche is answered by a ropey old cliche. Yeah. When it comes to love, which speaks louder, actions or words? Well, Carrie, actions speak louder than words.
Are we going to the cabin in the woods next week, or is that the week after?
Oh, not yet. No, next week we have. It's one of the scenes from Sex and the City that I find quite unbearable. And I know my really good friend Beth really struggles to even watch the scene. She has to turn away from the scene where Carrie begs forgiveness.
Oh, God. Oh,
so
yeah.
We've got that one. The quite excruciating, "You have to forgive me, Aiden."
Yeah, I remember that. Shit.
Yeah. And the dog gets diarrhea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will be back next week for "I diapered your dog," amongst other highlights. Until then, you can find us at SIGTT Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And please subscribe and like and leave us reviews and tell everyone. I will say, Dylan, now obviously season 4 is well underway.
Yeah.
Each week, each Tuesday, our listenership has been the highest ever listenership in a single day.
Amazing.
So I thought the series 4 premiere was going to be, that was at the time, it was the highest, but then episode 2 and 3 have gone out.
Wow.
Even bigger.
Well, so, thank you to all the listeners. We love you. And we love
amazing.
Everything that you send us on Instagram as well. And Twitter.
Tell us your stories.
Yeah.
Because we're bored. And now I'm a married woman in my 40s. So please send me filth. Thanks. We will see you next week. Until then, take care.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.